Okay, we're back from the break. This is, you're listening to the program. It's called Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today we're going through the book of Genesis, and we got to about chapter 1, about verse 24, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and we were talking about everything is after its kind. One kind of animal doesn't produce another kind. They don't intermix between the different kinds. For instance, you're not going to have a snake mating with a lizard, and you're not going to have an ape mating with a dog. Things like that. This evolution thing is not going to happen. It's not being demonstrated today. We don't have anything evolving into higher forms today. And of course, they need millions of years because, of course, no one's been here. No one can prove anything that happened 10,000 years ago, let alone a million years ago. It's all speculation. It's all imagination. It's all a system of belief in an image created by men. It is worship. They are idolaters and they're image worshipers, creating the images and obeying those images by living their lives in such a way that they do not have to obey the true creator of the universe. And, oh, that's real difficult too, because he only asks you to love him. And by loving him, he says that if you love me, you do the things I say. And of course, what does he tell us to do? To love our neighbor as ourself and to take care of our temple. That's it. That's difficult, isn't it? But you know, that's the kind of God that I want to serve. One that wants me to love my neighbor as I love myself and to take care of my temple and not abuse my temple. That's it. That's what he requires. And he says, this is loving me and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is what all the prophets and the law was all about. That's what Yahshua said when he was speaking. He said, "Don't think I've come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill the law." He said, "On these two hang the law and the prophets, to love your God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love our Heavenly Father, Creator, and to love our neighbors ourself." He said, "On these two hang the law and the prophets." So you take those two things, to love our Creator and to love our neighbors ourself, and you hang the law on that. What does that mean? These two things, the law hangs on these two things. It means that that was the reason that the law was given. And if we go through the law, that's what it was all about. How to take care of our temple, and how to love our neighbors ourselves. And he says, we do these things that we are loving him. Because loving him, he says, is keeping his law, is keeping his commandments. It's obedience to the Creator. That's how we love him. We do what's right. We seek justice and mercy. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Who could object to that? Of course, there's a lot of objection out there, isn't there? Oh, if religion was just made to control people. And of course. Yeah, we want you to love your neighbor, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. What a terrible control device, huh? Yes, and men, yes, they have perverted religion and used it to control people over the ages, but they lied. They perverted it. It wasn't about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. It was about enslaving people. They weren't doing it. As even Yahshua said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Let's continue. And God saw that it was good. And he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So, he made man separately. We got a separate passage here for man. First he makes all the animals, the flying things, the fish, and then he makes all of the other animals on the earth, and then he says, "Let us make man in our image." And he's going to make man. Man's going to be a creature with a body and legs going to use some of the same design features of the other creatures, same designer. It should be no wonder to us that that's a proof of the same designer. It's not the proof that we came from monkeys, because there's some of the same design features in them. Because those monkeys are still monkeys today. I don't see monkeys producing people. If you want to believe that image, if you want to live accordingly, if you want to bow down to that so that you can do whatever you want, because your image doesn't require you to love God and love your neighbors yourself. If you had to do that, why, you'd have to give up those unlawful things you're doing, you know, that fulfill the lust of the flesh, the thefts, the extortions, the trampling on your neighbor's rights. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. What is dominion? They were becoming like God over the earth, over all of the rest of creation. He made man to have dominion. As the Creator himself has dominion over man, and of course, everything that man has dominion over, he has dominion over also. And that's quite obvious, because man wouldn't create tornadoes to destroy himself, would he? Or would he? Well, it depends on his motivation and his power. If he had the power, you'd be surprised at what people will do with power to their fellow man. Well, maybe you wouldn't be surprised. I believe it's all too well demonstrated. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he said to them, be fruitful. He blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. This is his blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. And that means to take care of the earth. You know, I mean, he gave them dominion. This is now their job. They have dominion, and he's telling them to take care of it. Take care of the earth. I've given you dominion. Don't destroy the earth. I've given you dominion. This is my commandment. If you want to be obedient to me, you're going to replenish the earth. You're going to take good care of it, basically. This does not mean that the earth was destroyed, you know, the whole gap theory thing, and that they had to fix it back up. I'm sorry, I'm not buying into that in all the ages of time and how Satan was here and he destroyed the earth. Because our Creator kept saying it was good, it was good, it was good. There was nothing bad, there was nothing bad, there was nothing bad. Every day it was good, it was good, it was good. There was no bad. So how do you fit the gap theory in? Well, you have to convolute the Scripture to mean things that it doesn't mean. And you have to say that an evening and a day, well, that's not like the evenings and the days we have today. I know it says that, but it doesn't really mean that. Let me give you the correct interpretation of Scripture. It doesn't mean what it says. You need me to tell you what it means. And basically, that's what you have with all of these weird out theories. Is people telling you that it doesn't mean what it says. You need me to do. You need me to tell you what it says. No, I need the Holy Spirit to tell me what it says. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't agree with what it says, then I'm listening to the wrong spirit, and perhaps it's not his Holy Spirit. Maybe it's another spirit that ain't so holy. Maybe it's the spirit of the father of lies that's whispering in these people's ears. It is. It's not the spirit of our Heavenly Father. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to go against his word and against his creation. He's not going to go against his witnesses. His spirit will not go against his word. His spirit will not go against the creation. His word says an evening and a morning or a day. His creation says an evening and a morning or a day. And if I have a spirit coming to me telling me that isn't really what it means, well, that spirit doesn't agree with these other two witnesses. So I know that's a lying spirit. That's what I know. I can rightly discern. I have three witnesses. And when they all agree, I know I'm on the right track. If one of them's off, then I'm wrong. Or that something is wrong somewhere. And I need to search out and find the right spirit. I need to listen to the right spirit that agrees with the witnesses that I have. We have his spirit, we have his word, and we have creation itself. And these three agree. And when they agree, we know we're on the right track. His spirit tells me that what I'm reading is true, that an evening and a morning is a day. It was a day then. And I look out the window today and I get up every day and I see the same cycle, an evening and a morning is a day. So creation tells me, gives me the same witness. So I know that the spirit I'm listening to is not a lying spirit, but it is his spirit and it is truth. And if another spirit comes to me and says, nah, an evening and a morning isn't really a day, like you know a day to day. It's something else. It's an age of time. I know that's a lying spirit, and I rebuke that spirit. I just heard my duck laugh. I guess he's with me on that. Or she. So, our Heavenly Father created man in his own image. In his own image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And this is very important because of what's going to happen. Dominion. He has dominion over all of the other living creatures. So what man does affects everything in his dominion. And he said, verse 29, our Creator said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree, let me read that over again, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be for meat. And the word meat in the King James English just means food. It will be your food. This will be your meat. I'm going to read that again. I have given you every herb-bearing seed. So every herb that bears seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So every fruit that bears seed. We can eat the nuts, we can eat the apples and the bananas, and everything that has its seed in itself, we can eat. And that's good for food for us. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, have I given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So he defines life differently. I mean, we say the plants are alive, but this is not, there's a differentiation between plant life, which we eat, which is food for us, and the life of those things which have a living soul. The difference between every animal has a living soul. It has a mind of some sort. It has a intelligence about it, even if that intelligence is purely instinct. But the plants don't have that kind of life. And we share that kind of life with the animals. We have a certain amount of instinct that we behaved in an instinctual manner, such as the animals do, but not fully because we are differentiated. We are created in the image of our Creator, which the animals were not created in his image. So that's the difference between us and them, is that extra outside of the instinct, outside of just having merely a thought process that, you know, does certain, is programmed to do certain things. We have a spirit, and that's how we're created in his image. And he saw everything that he made, verse 31. And behold, it was very good. He didn't make anything that was bad up to, nothing was corrupt up to this point. There was no death up to this point. We don't count, we don't count plants because they're not life. When we talk about death, we're not talking about the death of plants because we know that the plants recycled and cycled. They were different than the living creatures, such as man and everything that, you know, and all of the other animals. The living creatures are different from the plants. The plants are rooted in the earth, or perhaps some of them aren't, but they're rooted to it. They don't have an awareness, an instinct. They don't have a thought process at all. They don't have a behavior. If you think that plants have a behavior, well, you just watch one all day long. They have a program, yes, in their genetic makeup that causes them to grow and produce and reproduce. And that's it. No thought process. No choices, no alternatives. And he saw everything that everything he had made, and behold, it was good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Yep, an evening and a morning were the sixth day. So we have an evening and a morning were the first day, an evening and a morning were the second day, an evening and the morning were the third day, and you're getting the idea. And the evening and the morning were each day until the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and thus concluded the days of creation, the 6 days of creation, the 6 days of His work, of His great work, of our universe and everything in it. And everything was set to reproduce after its kind. Everything was set into motion to continue for the duration of the creation from the 6 days that it was created. Everything. And we still have an evening and a morning today. And this is still the same creation that He created in the 6 days. And He created the future in the 6 days. Because it was all here. It was all programmed into it. As certainly as every plant bears seeds, and that seed bears the fruit, and that fruit bears seed and is planted in the ground, and it reproduces the seed again. He knew it all from the beginning to the end. Because if He could create this fantastic technology, certainly He knew where every bit of it would go. Because it says that He foreknew those that would love Him. He foreknew everything. It says He predestined us, those He foreknew. He said He called His Son, His Redeemer, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was there. Where's the foundation of the world? It's in these 6 days. This is it. This is the foundation for the world, the cosmos, the everything, the world as we know it. It's a lot to grasp, but my puny brain can grasp the concept. I can't know it all. As He knows it all, I can't know all the details. I don't know how all the technology works, but I know it works. And I know it's fantastic. And I know as hard as we try, all of our technology is only crude. As sleek and as better as it gets continually in most recent ages, or most recent years, it's still crude compared to His technology. I'd rather travel without an automobile. I'd rather think myself to be someplace like He appeared in a room. I like the way He traveled. Automobiles are crude. Our technology. Computers are crude compared to our brain. They're handy devices. They're great tools. I like them. But still, compare His technology with our technology? No comparison. It's a washout, man. He's got us beat. We're only copycats down here in His creation. So we conclude chapter 1. Of Genesis, and we go into chapter 2. We're going to run out of time here pretty quick, but so let's go through this, and then we'll cover it in detail tomorrow. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And really, you know, like chapter 2, verse 1, you can tell is not a separate work, because it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, our Creator ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And He blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it. He set it apart, because in that He rested from all His work which He created and made. And there are a lot of people that are arguing, well, the difference between the word created and made. Well, He brings it together here. He says created and made. It was all done in those 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. It was complete. It was finished. And when Christ said on the cross, it is finished. It was finished. Because He was slain from the foundation of the world. It was set into motion. It was done. He blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. He set it apart. Because He rested from all His work which He had created and made. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that Yahuwah. And here's the first appearance of 3068, the Hebrew 3068, the name of the Creator. And here, I believe, at Genesis 2:4 is where the chapter should have ended, and the second chapter should have begun, because here is a true division between styles. Who wrote this first chronology of the first 7 days? Well, some speculate Adam, but we know that our Creator authored them. That's what I believe, because this is called the Word of God. He penned this word by the hands of men. 66 different authors, throughout a span of hundreds and or if not thousands of years, he penned this great work, and nowhere does this work truly contradict itself. And nowhere is there a different story told. It is one cohesive picture of his creation, history, his story, our story, without contradiction, penned through the hands of 66 different books, different authors, different times, different languages, without contradiction. Just amazing. Just fascinating. That's all we have time for today. Be sure to join me next time for Cross the Border. Cross the border in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important in this life than that you cross the border into His kingdom and obtain eternal life.